I remembered the smells and the feel of that day.
"Children, we have something to show you," my parents had said.
"What is it?"
We wanted to know, but they wouldn't say.
We drove from our house through southeast London and across the River Thames.
"Where are we going?"
"To the Royal Albert Dock." All around us stretched wastelands and abandoned buildings. Nothing very royal at all. Dad stopped the car between a huge metal shed and an old dock that led to the Thames. There was rubbish piled everywhere, spilling out of disused warehouses with broken windows. The brown river water sloshed against the quay and smelled of rotten mud.
"There she is,"
Dad said, pointing towards a large white shape inside the shed.
"Our new boat."
I saw now that the shape was a smooth hull. It looked a bit like my brother's toy boat, only this boat didn't have any masts or sails, or any cabins, or even any floors. Inside was an open space that was difficult to walk on, as it was pointed at the bottom, following the shape of the keel. There was a strong smell like glue that made me want to sneeze. Everything was made of a yellowy-green material out of which stuck tiny fibres. When I touched them, my hands began to itch.
"Fiberglass," Dad explained. "That's what it's made of. Very strong."
"Couldn't we have a proper boat?" I asked.
"We could only afford the hull," said Mum, trying to stand upright.
"I'll do all the rest," he added. "It's my dream. We're going sailing."
So Ivan and I spent our weekends at the docks, while Dad worked on the boat. Once this place had been alive with ships loading and unloading cargo from all over the world. Now there was only ruined warehouses and a few people like Dad, building their boats and following their dreams. We clambered over the hills of rubbish and dragged out bits of broken furniture to make into dens. Once we found a dead cat, all swollen with its legs sticking out. Ivan poked it with a stick and then we ran away laughing. Soon the boat had a floor and wooden bulkheads dividing it into cabins. So many things were needed, masts and sails, ropes and winches. Ivan was always asking, "What's this? What's that?" All that interested me was when the boat would be ready, but months passed and there was still a lot to be done. We were sent to stay with Granny in Cornwall for a month. Mum had to finish her teacher training course. "I'm going to be teaching you," she explained, "when we go sailing."
"So we won't go to our school anymore?"
"Yes, that's right." I wasn't sure I wanted to leave my friends behind, and I liked school, but I didn't mind going to Granny's. She made cakes for tea, and we walked along the beach with her dog. I went to the village school, and Ivan went to the playgroup, and we made a few friends. When we returned to London, Mum said, "I've a job for you." I frowned. Didn't really want a job. "Don't look like that," she added sharply. "It's a nice job. The boat is going to be launched soon, and you can say a little speech."
"Why do I have to say a speech?"
"Because boats are like people and have to be christened. Marianne will be coming over for the summer holidays, and she can help you." Marianne was my 12-year-old cousin. She seemed so grown up and elegant with her dark, curly hair and neat clothes. My clothes started off clean, but always ended up scruffy and food-stained, and I never remembered to brush my hair.
"This is what you will say." Marianne handed me a slip of paper. "You'll say it in English and I will say it in Romanian. Shall we practice?"
On the launch day, she and I dressed in matching white Romanian blouses, embroidered with red and black and gold thread.
"You both look lovely," said Mum.
A crowd gathered on the dockside. The boat hung in straps from a crane, dangling over the water. It looked rather helpless. I clutched my scrap of paper and said,
"We name this boat Adventura, and God bless all who sail in her."
Marianne repeated it in Romanian. Then she took hold of a champagne bottle that was hanging off the front part of the boat. She held my hand. I put my other hand on the champagne, and then together we swung it hard onto the bow, where the glass smashed into pieces. The champagne fizzed and bubbled, and everyone cheered and clapped. The boat was slowly lowered into the water, and as the muddy Thames touched the hull for the first time and it floated, it didn't look helpless anymore. In fact, it seemed to come to life, not an it now, but a she, and she had a name.